This week, the most valuable AI company on Earth offered to hand the United States government a slice of itself worth $42 billion. Not a tax, not a fine, an ownership stake. Welcome to AI in 20 for the week of July 3rd, 2026. I'm Bennett, your host.
And I'm Aaron, your co-host. Bennett, here's the thread I kept pulling on all week. Capability isn't the scarce thing anymore. The models can do the work. The fight now is over who captures the money the work creates and who absorbs the disruption it causes. OpenAI floating a government stake, a benchmark showing the best model finishing one in six real freelance jobs, a California study showing the job squeeze climbing the skill ladder, same story told from the boardroom, the statehouse, and the spreadsheet.
And a second thread underneath it, the government-gated frontier hardening from emergency into standing policy. Let's get into it. Story of the week. Aaron, OpenAI reportedly offered Washington a 5% stake. Walk us through what's actually on the table.
So the original scoop is the Financial Times, confirmed in broad outline by Bloomberg and CNBC on July 2nd. OpenAI has discussed handing the U.S. government a 5% equity stake, about $42.6 billion against its roughly $852 billion valuation. And Sam Altman's pitch isn't just about OpenAI. He's floated that each leading American lab, potentially Anthropic, Google, Meta, contribute about 5% of its equity into a sovereign wealth-style vehicle, modeled on the Alaska Permanent Fund. That's the fund that takes Alaska's oil revenue and pays every resident an annual dividend.
So the framing is, AI is the new oil, and the public should get a check.
That's the framing. Public ownership as the fairest way to share the upside with the people whose economy the technology is reshaping. And Altman has reportedly raised it directly with Trump, with Commerce Secretary Lutnick, Treasury Secretary Bessent, even Bernie Sanders, who wants public ownership closer to half of each lab.
Let me push on the timing, though. This doesn't arrive in a vacuum.
No, and that's the part one can't ignore. This lands days after the government delayed OpenAI's GPT 5.6 launch, and weeks after it briefly switched off Anthropic's most powerful models entirely. So an offer that's framed as generosity also happens to arrive exactly when OpenAI needs regulatory goodwill for a stalled model launch and a looming IPO. The template here is Intel. Trump swung behind the chipmaker after the government took a 10% stake last year. A stake buys you a friend in Washington.
And there's a genuine tension to sit with. Is a public stake fair sharing or something else?
Here's the thing that gives me pause. The government already regulates these labs. If it also owns them, the line between overseer and owner blurs. When the referee holds equity in one of the teams, does the referee still call fouls the same way? You can believe the public deserves a share of AI's upside and still worry about the state becoming financially entangled with the companies it's supposed to check. Both things can be true.
How real is this, honestly?
That's my discipline note. The core figure rests on one FT scoop. It's corroborated in outline, but OpenAI itself calls the talks conceptual and early. Any real deal might need an act of Congress, and rivals may simply refuse to play along. Why would Google hand over 5% of itself because OpenAI volunteered to? So treat it as a serious signal of where the conversation is going, not a done deal.
Let's get into the week in AI. And we have to start where our sister show, AI in 15, has camped out all week, the Anthropic saga. Aaron, give us the arc, because a lot happened.
Let me compress 3 weeks into one arc. Anthropic's most powerful model, Fable 5, was switched off worldwide on June 12th under export controls. On July 1st, it came back, globally across Claude, the API, Claude Code, and Cowork, ending a 19-day blackout. But here's the twist. Anthropic's own testing undercut the original reason for the ban. It found that Opus 4.8, GPT 5.5, and China's Kimi K 2.7 could all reproduce the exact same jailbreak that triggered the shutdown, meaning Fable had no unique offensive capability worth containing in the first place.
So it came back, but not unchanged.
Right. Came back on a leash. There's a new safety classifier that catches the jailbreak in over 99% of cases, and when it trips, it quietly reroutes your request to the older, weaker Opus 4.8. And the security community revolted. IBM X-Force researcher known as Chompy said Fable rejects any request that's even tangentially cyber-related, down to reading a blog post. Cybersecurity veteran Matt Swayche told TechCrunch that just asking Fable to write secure code silently downgrades you, because the guardrails appear keyword-based. Anything in the lexical neighborhood of cybersecurity trips them.
And the transparency problem on top of that.
This is the beat that gets me. Anthropic conceded it had been invisibly throttling researchers who were using Fable to build competing models, without telling them. They told Wired, quote, "We made the wrong trade-off and we apologize for not getting the balance right. You should have visibility into the safeguards we have in place and why. Now, credit where it's due, that's a fast, clean walk back. But a company that sells trust got caught modifying behavior invisibly. The apology is good. The real question is why it shipped that way at all."
And the irony you flagged to me earlier.
The irony writes itself. On this week's automation leaderboard, Fable 5 is the model doing the most real work, and it's also the one hobbled by the most aggressive, least transparent guardrails. There's still no Opus 5, even though Fable already outperforms Opus 4.8, which reads as deliberate restraint while regulators watch. The bottleneck has moved from engineering to governance. The models look ready. The permission to ship them freely does not.
That leaderboard you mentioned, that's the Remote Labor Index, and the number is striking. Fable 5 now finishes 1 in 6 real freelance jobs.
16.1%. And it matters what this benchmark actually measures. The Remote Labor Index from Scale and the Center for AI Safety takes 240 real paid freelance projects, 3D jewelry design, animated ads, floor plans, software, data analysis, over 6,000 hours of work worth more than $140,000. Then it asks, can an AI agent complete the whole job end to end, graded against the human professional who was actually hired? Fable leads at 16%, nearly double Opus 4.8, well ahead of GPT 5.5. When this index launched in October, the leader managed 2.5%.
So 1 in 50 to 1 in 6. In under a year.
That's the trajectory, and it's the real headline. This isn't demo tasks or synthetic tests. These are completed, paid gigs someone would have hired a human for. But here's my caveat, and it's important. Even the leader fails 84% of projects. 5 out of 6 real jobs still need a person. The index tracks encroachment, not wholesale replacement. So it's both a stunning one-year jump and a reminder of how far there is to go. The thing to watch is how fast that curve keeps bending.
Which sets up the labor story, because the data is starting to show up in the real economy. California launched the first state-level AI unemployment tracker.
It's called CIT, and the early read is nuanced but pointed. Researchers found no evidence of large-scale statewide AI layoffs. I want to lead with that hedge, because the study's own authors do. But they did find elevated unemployment claims among college-educated workers in high AI exposure occupations, and it's concentrated in the San Francisco Bay Area and in tech-heavy sectors like information and professional services. The increase is described as sharp and sustained.
And that's the shift, isn't it? The story used to be AI eats the bottom rung.
Exactly. This is the first official signal that the pressure is climbing the skill ladder into the educated, high-exposure roles that were supposed to be safe. And against that data, you had Palo Alto Networks CEO Nikesh Arora telling his staff bluntly they face a Darwinian moment. Adapt or get cut. He argues most employees at big firms lack real AI fluency. No course can fix it, and he's reshaping his 21,000-person team through attrition and hiring from hackathons. Claims he can retool a quarter of his staff in 12 months.
Your read on pairing the cold data with the blunt executive?
Two honest caveats. One, this is early correlation, not proven causation. The study's own author stresses there's no mass layoff evidence yet. Two, adapt or get cut is also a very convenient story for a CEO who's reshaping headcount anyway. It launders a cost decision as inevitability. But the direction of travel is the story. And it connects straight back to the 5% stake, because if the disruption really is climbing into the white-collar core, then the question of who absorbs that downside stops being abstract.
Now the wait, really, story of the week. Scientists built a living cell from scratch.
A University of Minnesota team, led by synthetic biologist Kate Adamala, reports assembling the first cell built entirely from non-living chemical parts that can complete a basic life cycle: feed, grow, copy its DNA, and divide. They're calling it Spud Cell. It's a microscopic water droplet in a fatty membrane, packed with lab-made chemicals and DNA encoding just 36 genes. The key difference from earlier work: prior synthetic cells were made by stripping down existing organisms. Here, every component was assembled from scratch, so you can swap parts in and out like modules.
Why does a biology story belong on an AI show?
Because programmable, built-to-order biology is exactly the domain the labs are racing into. Anthropic's Claude Science, OpenAI's Life Sciences Models, the AI for biology tooling compressing genomic work. A cell you can design piece by piece is the wet lab counterpart to designing a model. Same mindset: modular, composable, engineered.
And the leash on the hype?
Needed. It's fragile, no cytoskeleton, so it holds together for only a few generations. And it's a preprint, released through a nonprofit Atomala co-founded, not yet peer-reviewed. The science looks real and genuinely striking. But "Scientists Build Life from Scratch" is a headline that needs its own guardrails. It's a proof of concept, not a product.
Last one before we zoom out: the government-gated frontier. Step back from the individual events, and there's a structure forming.
There is. Look at 3 weeks. Government switches Anthropic's two top models off worldwide, then clears one of them, Mythos 5, for 100-plus vetted institutions, then lifts controls entirely. Meanwhile, OpenAI's GPT 5.6 stays restricted to about 20 government-vetted partners pending review. And now the FT reports the White House is in advanced talks to finalize voluntary standards for frontier model releases, with an announcement possible as early as the week of July 7th and an August classification deadline for covered models. Anthropic has reportedly agreed to give government partners expanded early access before public launch. For companies are said to be building a shared framework for scoring jailbreak severity. Google's in its own talks ahead of Gemini 3.5 Pro.
So the emergency is becoming an operating system.
That's exactly it. The most interesting thing about a launch is now what the government let you ship. And here's the honest tension: some coordination on genuinely dual-use cyber capability is defensible. I'll grant that, but voluntary standards with early government access, opaque partner lists, and no published criteria, that raises a real question about predictability for anyone building on a US frontier model. If you can't see the rules, you can't plan around them.
Aaron, zoom out. The thread.
One thread, two levers. The signal of the week is distribution. Capability is abundant now. The models can do the work, 16% of it end-to-end and climbing. So the fight has moved to who owns the upside and who eats the downside. OpenAI's 5% stake is the ownership lever. The California squeeze, Aurora's Darwinian moment, the freelance automation number, that's the downside, landing on real workers. And running underneath both is the access lever. Governance is the new bottleneck. Every Anthropic beat this week, the ban, the leash, the apology, the pending standards, points the same way. The engineering is ready. The permission isn't.
And the counterweight you'd leave people with?
That almost none of this is settled. The 5% stake rests on a single scoop and OpenAI's own word that it's conceptual. The California data is early correlation the authors themselves won't overclaim. Spud Cell is a fragile preprint. Even the 16% leaderboard number means 5 of 6 jobs still need a human. The intentions are loud. The proof is thin. That gap is where the real story lives.
What to watch next week?
3 things. Whether the White House frontier standards actually land the week of July 7th, and crucially, whether they include published criteria or just handshakes. Whether any rival lab publicly bites on the 5% stake or quietly kills it. And whether Fable 5's guardrails get the promised transparency fix or keep silently downgrading people trying to do legitimate work.
That's your AI in 20 for this week. See you next Friday.